I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello. Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to the Killer Cuties podcast.
And I'm here too.
Got to get it all out of the way.
Yeah, I like it. Should we do our names this time? Why not? I'm Cassidy.
I'm KD.
Yeah, we're the hosts.
Yeah. But I'm apparently not qualified to be here.
There's no reason for you to be here.
No,
you, that's not fair. You can't be mad at people. You successfully rage baited people on TikTok.
Yeah.
And so you can't be mad about it.
Yeah.
Katie made a TikTok. Yeah. Talking about popular horror movies that she hasn't seen yet, even though she hosts a podcast. And then nobody read our bio, which says that one of us has seen all of them and one of us hasn't. So yeah, it's pretty much the whole premise of the podcast is to get you to watch these horror movies. But
yeah.
It worked. Engagement, babe.
Yeah, we're getting there. I mean, I've watched a lot.
You
like,
have
what,
watched
like 140 now, probably 150.
Yeah. When you asked me what are five horror movies people are going to be mad that I haven't seen, I had to look. I had to look through and be like, okay, which are ones that people would actually be upset about, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry to those people. I hope you give us a chance.
Please.
I'm learning.
Yeah. This is a learning experience. She's becoming a horror aficionado as we speak.
Yeah. Slowly. I'm even wearing a Halloween shirt.
That's true. She loves Halloween.
I do.
All right. We have some horror newses. Shall I kick us off?
Yes, please.
Okay. We got first images of Linda Cardellini as Pamela Voorhees. They were posted on social media last week, thanks to the Alone in the Dark podcast. Shout out to them. She's obviously on the set of Peacock and A24's upcoming show, Crystal Lake. And the behind-the-scenes photos showed her front and center and in costume, so very fun there. There were also some other shots, including exteriors of Crystal Lake, such as the cabin and some vintage cars and the lake itself. So, yeah, the show started filming on June 20th in New Jersey, and the sneak peek has obviously gotten a lot of the very starved Friday the 13th franchise fans excited about it.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah.
That's fun.
It's been a while. A lot of litigation issues, so people are happy that it's happening.
Yeah, finally.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the litigation issues a few episodes ago.
Yeah. I feel like we've mentioned them multiple times because of the game and then reboots and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They just keeps coming. Yeah.
In strange news.
Okay.
Specifically for Last of Us fans. Neil Druckmann, who co-created and directed the video games for PlayStation and co-created, produced, directed, and wrote the show, the first two seasons of the show, all with Craig Mazin, obviously, is stepping away from season 3 of the show to focus on other properties.
Oh.
Yeah. He specifically highlighted Naughty Dog's next game, Intergalactic the Heretic Prophet, as his new focus. But if that's not weird enough, Hallie Gross, who co-wrote part 2 of the game and was an executive producer and writer on the series, is also stepping away. Weird. She did not announce what project or projects that she was going to be focusing on.
Yeah.
But they both leave Craig to sort of do it all himself, I guess. And I hate to say it, but season 3 is already going to be lacking what most people, I think it's safe to say, liked about season 1 and the first half of season 2. So it feels very much like let's step away while we're ahead, which is so unfair to the remaining story and characters, but like I don't know, what do I know? It's just weird.
Yeah.
It's a weird departure.
They've already covered what the games cover, right?
Not quite.
Oh, okay. I haven't watched season 2 yet.
Okay.
But I know about some of the stuff that happens, but I know that the third one's going to cover, like, a new main character. And I guess, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. Because part of me is like, if you feel it's run its course, maybe that's when you leave. But then part of me is also like, if you can make it good, though, stay.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah.
But to your point, the game is two stories interconnected, and they just took the two stories and disconnected them, and that's season two and season three.
Oh, okay.
So I hope that is not, like, spoiling anything, but yeah, it just, it feels very much like, okay, we told the stories that we wanted to tell. Now have fun with this second-rate story.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it is just he had other opportunities and trusted them to do it.
That is a reasonable answer, but I don't like it.
Could the answer be the reasonable one? No, never.
It's got to be more nefarious than that.
It has to be. All right, my turn. The Access Horror Film Festival is going to be returning this year. It's a hybrid festival and industry summit held to celebrate disability in horror and genre cinema. It's going to be taking place both online and in New York City, and it's been named as one of the most accessible film festivals in the nation by Forbes. Very cool. It's going to kick off events on August 1st this year. Aside from the films that are going to be showing, the event is also going to be hosting panels, discussions, and Q&As from various people from the horror and disability advocacy communities, which is really cool. The full festival schedule and tickets actually went live on their website yesterday, if you're listening to this upon release, Monday, July 7th. So you can get tickets now if you are interested. Shudder is also going to be putting the films on their website. So that's really cool, too, if you have a Shudder subscription, which I'm sure a lot of people in the horror community do. It's kind of the go-to for that. But the festival was founded by acclaimed filmmaker, author, podcaster, and horror activist Ariel Boska. And Boska has said that Access Horror is a celebration of disability that flies in the face of the existential threats posed by RFK Jr., the attacks on Medicaid, and a rising tide of eugenics supporters. So I felt that that was very apt news and an exciting festival, especially considering what Bill just passed that I don't want to talk about because it's fucked up.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about it.
Yeah. But very apt that they are trying to celebrate and advocate for people with disabilities. So,
yeah,
it's a cool event. And I had never heard of it until this year. And I'm really excited that it's going to be on Shudder because I want to watch some of them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You don't hear of a lot of festivals, one, supporting like a reasonable cause or any cause at all. And two, available to watch online or with a subscription.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, that's their whole thing, is making it accessible. So I think their tagline is so accessible, it's scary, which is fun. So
it is fun.
Yeah.
Okay. One more thing for me. I thought we would play a little, I mean, not a game. It's more of an activity.
I love activities.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to share my screen.
Okay.
There's a really big group of people, cult of people perhaps, that collect and review animatronics from Spirit Halloween.
Yeah.
And every year Spirit releases the lineup around this time, leading up to their stores opening in mid-August. This year's initial lineup of six new products just dropped, and I thought maybe we'd look at them together and rate them as we go.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, first up, we have a 6'9" at its tallest point, Silent and Deadly Clown animation.
Oh, there you go. Okay. That is a 6'9" clown.
It is. I feel like the animatronic itself is a little lackluster.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it needs to be an animatronic. For listeners, it's really just got it's doing the shushing thing, and it's got a knife in its hand, and it just kind of turns back and forth.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not lunging. It's not anything scary. It's a silent clown.
And it's also not really, like, I feel like I could make this animatronic out of things in my home. It's not.
Yeah,
really,
I'm gonna be honest.
To the technology.
Yeah, it's not a strong first showing.
Yeah,
it's cute and it's fun, but you might as well just get a tall clown statue that costs less. You don't need the animatronics portion of this.
Correct. I agree. What would you give it out of 5?
Like a 2?
Yeah. I was thinking if one that, and a half. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say if that. I mean, it's really not striking me.
The texture of the face is kind of interesting. The eyes are just not, I mean, they're fine. I give it a 1.5.
Yeah, it just doesn't need to be an animatronic.
Yeah. I figured we'd get the clowns out of the way.
Oh, there's more. Okay.
There's one more clown.
Great. Yeah, let's do that. Clown this to clown.
Is, yeah.
Elimination round.
Yes. This is a $129, 6 foot tall, two-faced teddy animatronic.
Okay, so 9 inches less.
Oh, he makes noise. We don't need to listen to the noise. The only thing animatronic about him, for those that are just listening, is that his head spins 180 degrees and it's a different face on both sides. So he's angry on one side and happy on the other.
It's very the mayor guy from Nightmare Before Christmas.
You're so right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this video is so short.
Well,
because there's hardly anything to show.
Yeah, again, I'm a little this is a better animatronic than the first one because that is a cool effect, right? I think having the head spin is fun.
Sure.
Other than that, underwhelming.
I agree.
So I think you were right. I think the first one is a 1.5 and this is the 2.
Fair. So fair. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I like the head. If they had done more with the lower half, I would be into this.
Yeah, like maybe like you know, it just like ducks down or something. I don't know.
Yeah, a couple squats.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like that'd be that hard.
I've never made an animatronic in my life, so I can't testify for how difficult it would be.
Okay, next. This one, price astronomically increases, is a $250 6 foot night owl animatronic.
Okay. With price increase, I'm expecting... My expectations are now twofold, double.
Twofold. At least twofold. There better be two moving parts at least.
Yeah, I better see some crazy shit right now.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Okay.
Yeah, this one's just like, what is it, a bird or a bat?
It's
a bird.
Owl? It's an owl.
That's not an owl.
Well, it says
it looks
it's
like
an
a
owl.
Bird. It says it's an owl. It does not look it.
Have news for you. An owl is a bird.
No, they're different. Okay, it is, but it looks more generic bird than owl. All sure. it the wings are flapping. That's the animatronic aspect of it.
Yeah, so what we're looking at is a sort of like gargoyle-y owl head on a sort of lackluster, tattered body with wings that flap, which makes no sense because he's standing.
Yeah, he's not flying.
Correct.
I guess this one makes more sense to be moving because of the wings. I'm still kind of underwhelmed. Am I just not a fan of animatronics? Is that what's happening right now?
Oh, God. I mean,
this is a 2 for me again.
The concept is good. I think the concept of owl...
Execution, bad, though. Because the wings look like shit. That's not $250.
Oh,
production design for those wings. It's literally like those sheer Halloween cloths just draped over a wire.
Correct.
And then tattered at the end.
Yeah.
And this, again, the design does not read owl. It reads like an owl and a crow had a baby. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah. And on November 1st, this is going to cost $45.
Yeah. So get it November 1st if you really love it.
Yeah. That's what I do. I get all my Halloween shit on November 1st.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. Okay, what would you give this one? A 2 also?
Yeah.
I'll give it a 2.5 because it's a bird and I like birds.
You do like birds. You're a bird girl.
I am a bird girl.
It also looks shorter than 6 foot.
It does.
It's saying that's 6 foot and the last clown we saw was 6 foot and this looks 4 foot.
Well, you know what? The head, it probably is 4 foot because it's 6 foot at its tallest point.
Yeah, but those wings are not 2 feet over it. Maybe a foot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Disappointing.
Yeah, I'm just underwhelmed
it's
so
a two.
Far.
It's a 2. Okay, this is a 3 foot, 6 inch tall electrified corpse animatronic. It's only $150, so significantly cheaper than our disenchanting owl friend.
Yeah. What are we looking at here?
It's a man, a half of a man being electrified in a suit, like a worker's like a janitor's shirt.
Yeah, it definitely looks like a work shirt. It's waist up, and he's hanging upside down, being electrocuted.
I think with the sound, it adds to it. I wish you could hear the sound, okay, because it does add. He's like screaming and being electrocuted in the sound.
Okay, that's fair. I like the animatronic aspect of this one because it makes sense. He's wiggling and it looks like he's being electrocuted.
Yeah, and there's multiple. So the head is both shaking left and right and nodding up and down.
Yeah, and the arms are kind of moving too.
And the arms, so there's more than one.
There's a lot of good movement happening here.
Yeah.
I think my complaint with this one is that I wish the wiring that's wrapped around him, that's like electrocuting him, is all gray, and so is his shirt. So there's not a lot of contrast there. It all kind of runs together. There is some like red around his waist and his arm where it looks like it's like fake blood. I wish that they had almost carried that further or else made the wiring black or something just so that there was more contrast there.
Or like orange.
Yes. I do like the animatronic aspect of this, though. I think that this is fun and this is a step up from what we've seen so far. I'm going to give this a 3.5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I like this one. I like this. I don't like the shirt. And the wiring the same color, though.
Yeah, that's so fair. I was only going to give it a 3.
I think if you opened the door and this was staring at you, I'd be a little spooked.
Okay. Okay. Our first discourse.
Yeah. Best one so far. Which hasn't been hard, but.
Okay. This one is from a property we know. I don't know. You know.
I know. Yeah, I know her.
It's Valak. Is that how you say her name?
Mm-hmm.
Valak. It's an almost 6 foot tall Valak animatronic from The Nun. It is, I think, the most expensive. Let me check this one. It is the most expensive by about $75. It's a $300 animatronic. And here you go. Here she is. Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
All right. Yeah, for our listeners, it is Valak the Nun from the Conjuring universe. And she lunges forward. She's in a praying position and then lunges forward at you. That's the animatronic aspect of it. And then she goes back into her praying position.
Yeah, she her head goes up, her arms go out, and she thrusts forward.
She thrusts, for sure. Yes. She thrusts. Yeah, this one's fine. I think it's the fun movement of her thrusting. That would get a kid scared. It looks fairly similar. Like, it's recognizable that that's supposed to be Valak. Does it look exactly like her? No.
This one would scare me. I don't think animatronics are meant to be in full lighting.
Like, no. These
have been.
Yeah, I mean, this is to show you. In the dark. Yeah, if this popped out at you on the path up to a trick-or-treating house,
I'd poop a little.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this one's a 4.
I agree. I think it's a 4 too.
Yeah, this one looks good.
Yeah. For $300 though, maybe it's a 3.5 because it's really expensive.
It is really expensive, but you have to, like, it has to be. Look at the whole contraption behind it that pushes it forward.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And it's licensed, so they have to give money to the Conjuring people. James Wan needs the money.
Oh, James. Okay, I saved what I think will be your favorite for last.
Oh, I'm excited. Okay.
This is a 4'2".
Yes.
Mutant sewer rat.
Yes, I like this a lot.
He's already so cute. He's $229, so middle of the road as far as affordability goes. And here he is. Oh, I like him.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this.
Yeah.
It's just a rat man for anybody who's listening, and his jaw moves and he kind of swivels back and forth with his head. I'm not going to lie. The animatronic aspect of this, meh, this could just be a statue. It doesn't need to move.
Yeah.
However, design, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, he's a little, he's fun.
He's got fun. Whiskers. He kind of, for the VHS fans out there, he kind of reminds me of Ratma from VHS 94. Which is one of my favorite segments. I think that segment's amazing. Because I'm a sucker for a good old sewer rat.
Yeah. I mean, I will say He's got a tail, hands, and a head that are made out of what looks like plastic, which is not ideal. And then the rest of his body is just cheesecloth dyed in several different sewery colors.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, production value, not high. But he's just so cute. No. He's fun.
But for what we've seen, which is not high production value, on par.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm doing this on a Spirit Halloween scale, not a put it in a movie scale.
Yeah. Fair. And also, this one is the one that most closely ties to the theme this year at Spirit Halloween, which is Madison Scare Park.
Oh.
Like New York, like underground, you know?
That they love rats there.
Yeah, they do.
All right. I'm gonna give this a 4 out of 5.
Oh.
Because I think while it is my favorite design by far, the animatronic aspect is a little underwhelming.
Okay.
He's not moving much.
Okay. I agree with you. I just thought that you would be giving it a little higher.
No, I want to. I really want to. But I think you lose a point if the animatronic is not animatronicking.
So fair.
You have to lose a point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a shame.
Yeah, too bad.
It's too bad because if there's one thing I want to do, it's give rats 5 out of 5, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah, I liked that. That was great. Thank you for putting that together.
Yeah, well, sort of. I just had the website open.
Thank you for opening spirithalloween.com.
Hashtag not sponsored.
One day, though. Spirit Halloween. All right, should we talk about the autopsy of Jane Doe?
Yeah, that's what we're here for, 30 minutes in.
Whatever. Relax. You can fast forward.
If you haven't already.
Yeah, we put chapters on our YouTube videos, so they can just click there if they don't want to listen to us yap about Spirit Halloween. All right. Autopsy of Jane Doe. I'm going to give us a little overview. While investigating the murder of a family, police are puzzled with the discovery of a body of a stranger buried in the basement that does not fit the crime scene. The coroner, Timmy, and his son, Austin, work late to determine the cause of death of the mysterious Jane Doe, uncovering bizarre clues, secrets, and mysteries along the way. That's from me. Thank you, me. It was directed by Andre Uvredal. It was written by Ian Goldberg and Richard Nying. It stars Emile Hirsch, Brian Cox, and Olwen Catherine Kelly, who went by Olwen Kelly in the credits for this. It had a $4 million estimated budget. That's not 100% verified. And it made back a little over $6 million worldwide. It has a very respectable 3.2 out of 5 on Letterboxd, a 6.8 out of 10 on IMDb, and an 86% certified fresh critics and a 72% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes.
People get their dicks wet for this movie.
They do like it. It definitely, I don't think it had a wide release, right? Did it have a wide theatrical release? I don't think so either.
I mean, it only made like $30,000 in the US and Canada, so I don't think so.
Yeah, couldn't have, right?
And it was released at what, Toronto Film Festival?
Toronto Film Festival, and then I think it released on IFC Midnight. So I think it went straight to TV. I don't think it went in theaters.
Oh, which is crazy because it has a box office of $6 million.
That's true. So maybe it did do a limited... And then also on VOD?
We did research, I promise.
Yeah, there's just not a whole lot on that aspect of it.
Yeah. The budget was also estimated. The $4 million budget is...
Yeah.
We couldn't find the actual budget like some movies post, but...
Right. But yeah, it definitely does have a cult following.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I see this movie mentioned a lot when... In horror groups where people are trying to find movies that maybe they haven't seen before. I see this mm-hmm. get suggested a lot.
Well, I'm glad we watched it. Check it off our list. And can I just say, bring back hour and 30 minute movies. We've said it before, but holy shit. An hour and a half is a perfect length.
I was like, you can say that anytime you want. I've been screaming that from the rooftop since the day I was born.
Yeah.
Hour 30 is the perfect length for a movie.
I agree. If this wouldn't have been any longer, it would have been bad. It ran its course.
Yeah, I agree. It did what it could in the space that it had, and that was all that it needed to do.
Yeah, well said.
Thank you. Yeah. Off the top of the dome, that one.
Yeah.
Right off the top of my noggin.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of thoughts up here. Sometimes good ones.
Sometimes.
Yeah, it's rare, but it happens.
Not always.
Not most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. You said it, not me. Alwyn is a Welsh name. My aunt's name is Alwyn.
Oh, I believe she's Irish.
Interesting.
Is that?
Maybe it's just a Celtic name.
Okay, that could be it. I want to say that the director said that she had gone on to do a lot of stuff in Ireland, or at least become like more well known in Ireland.
Interesting.
So I think that's where she's from, but maybe she just lived there. Nope, she was born in Ireland.
Interesting.
Hell yeah. Irish for the win.
Maybe it's just a Celtic name, then. Maybe I misspeak. But yeah, my Welsh aunt is named Alwyn. So.
One time I was at a party and a guy asked me what my name was and I told him. And he proceeded to tell me that my last name was Scottish. And I said, it's actually Irish and Scottish. It's both. It could be either. And he said, no, it's Scottish. And I said, I think I know. So he tried to mansplain my own name to me until he Googled it in front of me because he did not believe me and then said, oh, yeah, it can be both. I said, I know. That's what I just said.
People are dumb.
Well.
Men are dumb.
Thank you. It was a wild thing to have someone have the audacity to tell you your own last name.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I'll admit that this scene, and if you can guess it, I'll give you a little smooch, had my biggest reaction to a jump scare.
Oh, no.
I audibly screamed, scared both dogs, one of which was across the house.
I genuinely can't think of a single jump scare in this movie now.
Oh, really?
And I know there's so many, and I can't think of one.
Yikes.
Yeah. Was it when he saw his dad at the end? And he fell down the stairs?
Yes!
Was it?
Yes!
Let's go! Oh my god, give me a smooch.
That scared Perfect. The shit out of me.
Mm. Spooky.
That was our first kiss.
Not our last.
Anyway, yeah, I was scared. I was scared by that. It scared me.
Yeah. Spooky film.
Yeah. I also learned a new word researching this film.
What word?
Desultorily?
I saw that as well, and I thought, there's no need for that.
Yeah. It did check. Okay, so they used it. It means disconnectedly or in a fitful or unmethodical way. And it was used to describe how Tommy and Austin listened to the radio. So it fits.
It fit, but they could have just said, like, half-heartedly.
Yeah, or disconnectedly, unmethodically.
Yeah, they... It was definitely a word that you don't see a lot. And so to have it be used in the IMDb fun facts was a wild thing to see, but...
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Desultorily. Desultorily. It was one I hadn't heard, which is crazy. Yeah. I feel like I know a lot of words.
Yeah. It's a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to speak more about the radio? The desultorality is just, now I can't say it. The half-hearted listening?
Yeah. You can.
Oh, okay, sure. In the full fun fact, they don't just say that they're listening half-heartedly to the radio.
Right.
They talk about what the radio is actually talking about because they're listening to the weather. And throughout most of the movie, they're talking about the storm that's happening and, oh, you don't want to be out there right now. It's rough. It's crazy. We've never seen anything like it. And throughout the movie, you know, the lights are going off. There's a tree that falls in front of the exit, all this stuff that coincides with the storm. But at the very end, the forecaster is saying, oh, another nice one out there. It's our fourth straight day of sunshine. So kind of just adds to the fact that Jane Doe is messing with their minds a bit throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't understand why her eyes went back to glassy at the end. Because she, like, sucked his soul.
Because he stabbed him before the ritual was completed.
Oh.
Yes, ooh. So Austin stabs his dad.
His dad
is trying to complete the ritual to basically free her of this curse that she's in.
Right.
And so he has to go through all of the pain that she's gone through, which is why his limbs are snapping. Sorry about that. Yeah, so he's going to cut out his tongue, which is the last step that's needed for him to complete it. And Austin, his son, stabs him before he can finish it. So it's not completed. That's why Austin then is killed by her, and the cycle repeats.
Got it, got it. And then how did the sheriff know that she was a problem?
When did he know that she was a problem?
At the end, when he's like, get her out of my town.
Oh, I think it was more so just not to imply that he knew that she was doing this, but more just this is now two tragedies that she's been linked with, so he probably just doesn't want it there. That's what I gathered from that.
Okay.
It was more of him just being like, bro, weird shit's following this thing. Get it out of here.
Sure, sure. So fair. I was watching a behind-the-scenes video, okay, and during the burning scene, they had a black mannequin on the autopsy table, and they had rigged the autopsy table with gas, tubes, okay, of gas. And then, from what I could tell, they were remotely turning the fire on and off.
Oh, okay.
Kind of a fun little mechanical tidbit.
Yeah. I know the director had said that that was technically one of the hardest things that they had to shoot, because anytime you're dealing with fire, even if it's small, if it's an actual fire, that's presents a lot of hazards, obviously. So mm-hmm. when you're around all these famous actors and just human beings that are working on the set, he said you had to be really careful. So it was really time consuming for them to set up those shots and get it all correct logistically and safely. And also, they had Owen Kelly there, who is a live human being playing a corpse for the entire 90-some minute runtime. And so he said she was just incredible because she was able to do really shallow breathing and be really still. And he said, yeah, back in the 70s, you could probably get away with it if there's some breathing happening in the background, but you can't with today's audiences. That's going to be on the Goofs pages, and they're going to notice if the corpse is breathing in the background. So mm-hmm. he said that they really painstakingly went over all of the shots with her in it to make sure that you couldn't see any of that.
Yeah. I guess she had trained in, was it yoga?
Yeah.
And that sort of helped her control her breathing really well. Yeah. Yeah. But they specifically didn't want to do prosthetics. And chose to hire. She was the first person to audition. There were several people that auditioned after her, but
yeah,
he just knew, the director just knew that she was going to be who was playing Jane Doe. Yeah, 8 hours a day for 5 weeks, lying naked on an autopsy table, she said.
That's a lot. I think she used to be a model too. She said that that helped because she had done nude modeling in the past.
Oh yeah.
So having that experience of being in a room full of fully clothed people and being the only naked one was something that wasn't entirely foreign for her.
Yeah.
But Uverdell said that she had the most difficult role in the film, and that he credited her with making everyone else feel comfortable because she was so comfortable with it. So mm-hmm. testament to her for being able to do that when she's in the most uncomfortable position.
Yeah. Yeah. Martin Sheen was originally cast as Tommy. But he had to drop out due to scheduling conflicts. And then obviously Brian Cox replaced him.
Yeah, I could see him in this role.
Me too.
Checks out.
He doesn't seem quite old enough, I don't think. Especially 10 years ago.
Yeah, I guess I don't know how old he is.
Let me see.
How old is he?
84.
Oh, so he's older than Brian Cox.
Yeah, he would have been in his 70s.
Interesting.
At the time of filming.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Grace and Frankie?
I have not.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is that surprising?
I mean, it's got like two women who are very known for their activism. Mm-hmm. And it's comedy, girl power.
That's true. It does sound like something I would like.
Yeah, it's very good. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's about two old women who get together to make a sex toy company.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Martin Sheen's in it.
Great. Okay. I was wondering how we got there, but yeah. we did it. We connected it.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Yeah. Martin Sheen was not in this, though.
He wasn't. No, he just almost.
Scheduling conflicts, yeah.
Yes, of course. The director, he's Norwegian. This is his first English language film.
Chrissy.
Yeah, he did another like horror comedy, Troll Hunter. It's on our list. We'll get there eventually.
That sounds cute.
But, yeah, very different vibe than this one. But he was inspired to do like a straight horror movie after attending a screening of The Conjuring. Mm-hmm. He immediately called his agent, said, find me a good horror script. This is what they showed him. And he was lucky enough that they did eventually choose him to do the script after he said he wanted to.
Nice.
And I feel like that checks out. I talk about it more in my rating, but there is a common thread that I found between this movie and The Conjuring.
The ghosts?
Well, no, because The Conjuring's a ghost story. This is a witch story. That's different.
True. It's very true, very true, very true.
No, I was going to say that I personally feel that the first half is stronger than the second half.
So
of both
fair.
Of the movies. Okay. I was like, I don't want to like give too much away because I still like this movie. But yeah. I do think the first half where it's like this mystery and they're uncovering all these clues is really interesting. Yeah. And the second half's more just straight horror movie.
Well, and in the second half, I feel like they leaned on exposition from the dad a lot without having first established him as like someone who would know any of this. You know what I mean? Like
he really connected the dots very quickly in the end.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me that he had they sort of like nurtured that character at the beginning a bit more, it would have made the witch thing less effective. And then because they didn't, it just didn't make a whole lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the reveal was fun.
Yeah. That's a very fair point, though.
Yeah.
That if he had shown knowledge of the occult and stuff like that, it would have made more sense that he knew this at the end. But then the reveal that she's a witch is kind of gone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, he just knew a bit too much to be believable, I guess.
That's fair.
Yeah.
He connected a lot of dots very quickly at the end.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, too many dots. But no, I sat here, I pointed at her, and I said, witch! Witch! It was a good reveal. It was fun.
Yeah, who doesn't love a good witch?
Yeah. I also learned, speaking of things I learned, all of the different Does. I mean, obviously you know John Doe, Jane Doe, but there's also John Roe and Jane Roe. I guess if there's more than one at a time. I don't know how that works. And then Johnny Doe and Janie Doe for children.
Yep.
Or you can just use Doe. Non-gender specific. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know about the Rose or the kids' names.
I only did because I used to consume a lot of true crime.
Sure.
Yeah. I went through an era.
Yeah.
Am I proud of it? Not really, but I'm just a girl.
Yeah. The director said that his favorite scene to film was the scene in the elevator when Tommy and Austin are sort of having their heart-to-heart about Tommy's wife, Austin's mother's suicide. The director said, I only placed the camera and we watched a fantastic performance by Brian Cox and Emile Hirsch, which is always fun as a director. I can imagine that would feel very validating that you have, you know, picked the correct actors.
Yeah.
And then he said the scene that he was most proud of as a director was the build-up of the reveal of the symbols beneath Jane Doe's skin. Which was something.
Yeah.
It was something.
It was.
You alluded to this earlier. My one like really big trigger is in this movie and I had to watch it and it was terrible and I threw up and it was terrible. But I mean, it's not your fault at all. Because I checked.
I'm so sorry.
It's a movie called about an autopsy.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's going to be body horror. But I went to the Does the Dog Die? And it was very misleading how many no's there were. So I was like, oh, maybe it's not, like, his body horror. Maybe they do it a little bit more. So I felt safe. I was lured into a false sense of security. I should have – I usually control F-bones, and I didn't. I don't know why I didn't.
Yeah. To be fair, I don't think it's a super body heavy or body horror heavy movie, but that part is very much, if you have a bone cracking trigger, that is an extreme example of it. Yeah. It's just funny how like that scene didn't stick with me.
Yeah.
Because it's been so long since I've seen it and it's not a trigger for me. So it's so easy for my brain to just not even remember it. But I guess that's why it's a trigger for you and not for me.
Yeah. I will remember it personally.
Yeah. Well, and you would. But for me, I was like, oh, yeah, that was a fun movie about a witch.
Yeah.
That's what I remembered from it. Because it's been probably over 5 years since I've seen this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, that was a fun movie about a witch that I will listen to on mute next time I watch.
That you threw up during?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. Not your fault.
What is this if not extreme exposure therapy?
Honestly, it might be working. It's not.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Kind of touching back, though, you talked about the elevator scene. And Uverdell said that when they were doing the set dressings, they added a lot of really homey touches to it. And that's because they wanted to have that family dynamic aspect of it, even though it is a morgue. So the wallpaper inside the elevator has this like floral pattern on it, which is obviously not something you really see, especially in a morgue elevator. But he wanted it there because he knew that that's where the conversation about the mom was going to take place. So he wanted it to feel almost like there was this feminine touch to it, as if she had been there and had some sort of say in how it looked and how it felt.
Cute. I like that.
Yeah.
Ugh. R.I.P. the mom.
True.
And I'm glad he said Ray of Sunshine was a stupid nickname, because it is.
It is.
I noticed, it seems like a lot of people notice this, I don't think it's ever been confirmed that this is true, but when the like sheriff and everybody is going through all the damage and sort of looking through the morgue, the camera pans from the shower stall immediately to the hole that was axed through the door.
Mm.
So it's very like Psycho, The Shining.
Yeah, it feels very much like a subtle little callback to some of the greats in the horror world.
Yeah. I just got back from a trip to see The Stanley.
Yeah, you did.
I know.
I'm without sorry. Me.
I didn't go there for that. I didn't even know it was there until we were in the city that it was in. I was like,
yeah, excuses. Excuses. Why don't you go hang out with your husband, Katie?
Yeah. I mean, you know where I'd rather be.
No, stop. I'm glad you got to go there, though. You got lots of pics and stuff.
Yeah, it was great. Learned a lot. My favorite fact that I learned.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, The Shining, which, by the way, the miniseries is like a one-to-one of the book, I'm told.
Oh, interesting. So, okay.
Yeah, so I will be
watching it?
Yes. Thank you. That's not the word I was going to use. I was going to use consuming. I will be consuming the miniseries, also because Stephen King wrote the miniseries.
Yes.
Anyway, he didn't like the movie. We talk about this in our episode on The Shining.
Did we
do an episode on The Shining?
We sure did.
Yeah, we did. And we talked about
it. We did a duo of The Shining and Dr. Sleep.
And Dr. Sleep. Yeah. I remember that now. Anyway, in the book The Shining, he writes about a herd of caribou at the hotel, where there aren't caribou in Denver. Those are reindeer. Mm. They don't have caribou there. They have elk. So what the Stanley Hotel did was to give Stephen King his caribou, and they put a statue of a caribou on the property, and all the elk got fucking pissed and destroyed it.
That's incredible.
Yeah. During mating season, they were like, fuck you, caribou. And then they built the maze. People are like, where the fuck's the maze? Because people don't understand, they didn't actually film.
Which is crazy, because it doesn't look like the movie. It doesn't look like the hotel in the film. They are vastly different.
Yeah. The miniseries was shot there.
Inspired by
him. Yes. Yeah. It's all inspirational. But anyway, people are pissed that they don't have the maze like in the movie. So they made one and they planted a plant that elk eat. So it like never grew because the elk would just come and eat it.
Mm.
And then when they finally were like, okay, we got to do different, we got to use a different plant. They used a different plant and it grew. And now the elk don't come back there. They don't see the caribou anymore. So the caribou is now safe.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that fun? Fun facts about the
state. Great facts. Love that.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. That's all I have about Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Oh, okay. I have one more fun fact.
Okay.
It's just kind of about the details in the movie that also hint towards her causing these hallucinations and stuff.
Okay. So you think they're hallucinations, not what happened in real life.
Well, she's clearly causing hallucinations.
You think it's hallucinations and not actually happening.
What do you mean?
Is that not up for debate?
I guess, but I feel like it pretty clearly implicates it as being hallucinations. He's seeing a zombie come towards the elevator and then it's his girlfriend.
Okay.
You think that that was up for debate, that it could have just been a monster and not her?
Maybe she animated okay. A monster.
I don't believe that, but okay.
I'm not saying whether I do or don't. I'm just confirming your belief.
I believe what I feel the movie told me, which was that she was causing them to see things that were not there.
Okay.
The time on the clock doesn't change as the movie goes on. It stays the same. So kind of a little hint there. Austin's face doesn't have blood on it after he falls from the stairs. When the police are investigating the morgue at the end, the lights aren't broken. So just a few of those little touches throughout that kind of hint that she's messing with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Cute.
Yeah.
I didn't notice the clock thing.
Oh.
Or the lights. Or I didn't notice any of those.
Great.
Good to know, though. My opinion on the hallucinations would have been solidified much quicker had I known those things or noticed those things.
Yeah. Did you not think they were hallucinations?
No, I did. I just,
oh, okay.
Had I noticed those things, I would have come to that conclusion much faster.
Got it. Okay.
Like, that is fair. Yeah. I had to think a little.
The weather didn't?
Didn't catch that either.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
Yeah.
You were also distantly listening to the weather report.
What is that word?
I don't know. I can never remember how to say it.
Desultorily. Desultorily. Desultorily.
Desultorily.
Desultorily.
Yeah, you were desultorily listening to the film.
No, I pay attention to most of the parts.
I believe you. All right, should we rate it?
I think so.
Let's do it.
How scary did you think it was?
I gave it a 1.5 out of 5. Because I do think there's some tension at the beginning. Some moments where you're like, oh, what's happening here, you know? And then there's some good jump scares.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about you?
I give it a 2.5. I split it down the middle. Because it did have my biggest reaction to a jump scare to date.
That'll do it.
Yeah, and then paranormal in general just kind of freaks me out. I mean, I know it technically was a witch, but it was pretty paranormal. 2.5.
Very fair.
Thank you.
How sexy did you think it was?
Yeah. No.
No.
No, I gave it a 0.5. There was just way too much happening for this to be a sexy horror movie. Despite, you know, a dead woman laying on a table the whole time.
Despite that?
I mean, naked. Naked was the key word.
Yeah, you got to clarify because you didn't say naked. You said dead. So that was
Well, alarming. I did at the end, but.
Right. Yeah. It was too late at that point. It was the damage too late, was done.
Yeah. Yeah, it just didn't do it for me. 0.5.
I give it a 2 out of 5.
Okay.
Well, I think witches are inherently sexy.
Okay.
And, you know, it's not really a good for her because she's still suffering the curse. But witches.
Witches are great.
Witches are like a baseline too, you know?
Sure. Okay. I mean, I wasn't really getting witch. I know she was a witch.
She was,
I know. But great. It wasn't giving what witches give, you know?
Sure. Yeah, that's fair.
Thank you. How fucked up did you think it was?
I gave it a 1 out of 5. I think it's again, not my triggers. It's not something that's...
Yeah.
I don't really have triggers. But, yeah, so I gave it 0.5 points because it does have a few moments of, you know, the autopsy and the crackings and the cat, but nothing that really was so crazy. What about you?
Yeah. I mean, I think the level of body horror makes it a little fucked up, but I don't know that it's really anything that we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
So between like that and the cat, I only gave it a 1.5.
Okay. Even though the scene made you throw up?
But that's just me, though.
Well, the whole rating is you.
I know, but it feels wrong to have rate it based on me alone. You know what I mean?
Okay. You can rate it however you'd like.
Yeah,
I feel like it makes sense for you to rate it based on your feelings, because that's what we're doing.
I guess. I don't know. It's still just a 1.5.
Okay.
I'm blocking those scenes out.
It's interesting, though, that you rate fucked up like that, but not sexy.
It's not. Those things aren't fucked up.
But you'll see a tentacle and give it a 5 out of 5, even though that's not everybody's idea of sexy. That's a you.
But
thing.
It should be. I'm not saying everybody's trigger should be what my trigger is. Everybody's kink should be what mine is.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite of kink shaming.
Not, I was saying, yeah, as in I understand your point, not that I agree.
Thank you.
To be clear.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, yeah, no.
That makes more sense, though. Thank you for explaining.
Just because my trigger is not something that is fucked up. You know what I mean? Like, people break bones all the time. I break bones all the time.
I guess. Yeah, that's fair.
So it's like, you know, whatever. Am I going to throw up? Absolutely.
Right. That's, you know, valid. I respect it.
I'm like salivating right now just thinking about it as much as I can.
I'm so sorry. We can move on. Yeah. I didn't mean to linger there.
That's okay.
All right. Overall, what did you think of the autopsy of Jane Doe?
Yeah. I mean, I think there were a couple like plotty holes with like the dad, and the exposition was a little much. That sort of like devalued the film for me a bit. And okay. I'm not saying I disagree with them, but I was genuinely surprised that the reviews were as good as they are, because the movie was just kind of like all over the place.
Okay.
It was like kind of like what you said. It was one movie at the beginning and then a totally different movie halfway through. But I had fun watching it, especially the first half. So I gave it a 3.5.
That's correct.
Thank you.
No, I fully agree. I also gave it a 3.5. I think the first half is really strong. Again, like The Conjuring. The first time I watched The Conjuring, the first half, I was like, oh yeah, we are here. We are going to fuck. This is so good. The little clap clap game I was in lost me. They lost me so hard in the last half. And this movie didn't lose me as hard.
Yeah.
But it still lost me a little bit. Because it got very kind of generic horror. And I think what made the first part so compelling was them finding these little clues and all these things that you're like, what is this? Like, what happened here? And solving that mystery. And I think, again, to your point of the dad kind of just having this epiphany at the end, if there was more lead up to that, more mystery, more them solving it, more them figuring out what happened to her, I think it would have been a little bit better for me. And they still could have left in some of the jump scary stuff, but if they had just focused a little bit more on that, I know they wanted to touch on the family aspect and get that speech about the mom in, and I get that, but I was more interested in the mystery of it all. That was kind of where they had me.
Yeah. I think same sort of like setting, father-son duo doing an autopsy, like crime drama, crime thriller. So fun. That would be so fun. Not that this wasn't fun, but that would be good too.
Yeah. I would watch that. And I don't mind that this had, like, that it turns out to be a witch, but I just wish there had been more lead up to that.
Yeah. Fair.
Yeah.
Wow. ask me, would we survive?
Would you survive?
No.
Oh.
Odds are really not in our favor, are they? I don't think I'm smart enough. I don't think I have the mental fortitude enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm dead. And I use my weak mental fortitude as an excuse for my own death very often. But it's my truth.
Hey, and we all have to live our truth.
Yeah. What about you?
I think it depends. It depends on who I'm with, right? So my mom is pretty smart. And I think if, heavy if, the person I'm with figures out how to do this, how to do the ritual, how to complete it to end this cycle, and they are halfway through by the time I get to them, I'm gonna let them finish. Because I'm not just gonna stab them and let their death be for nothing.
Yeah.
So I think in that case, do I live?
Do you live?
I don't know. It's a tricky one. This one's a hard one. Because I don't know if I can depend it on someone else figuring this out, you know?
Yeah.
If it's up to me to figure it out, hell no. I'm never going to think, which.
Yeah.
So I think it's only fair to say that I die as well.
Okay, good.
But if we get to the point where that person has sacrificed themselves for me and all they have left is cutting out their tongue, why stab them then?
Yeah, just turn Emil Hirsch? Eyes.
God, he looks like his name would be Austin. I don't even know what that means.
I knew an Austin once.
Yeah?
Yeah, a little.
When I think of Austin, I think of Austin Ames from Cinderella Story. Waiting for you is like waiting for rain in this drought.
Oh my God.
Useless and disappointing.
Oh no.
Yeah, so I just think of Chad Michael Murray and how he couldn't figure out that a girl he went to school with for the past like 15 years was wearing something that only covered her eyes. So in my mind, Austin's ain't shit.
Yeah. That checks out.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, you kind of already know the concept of what we're going to talk about next week. We're talking about the movie Teeth. Kind of another cult classic. This is just the month of cult classics, I guess.
I guess
so. But yeah. Is there anything you want to add to that movie, or are you good with just moving on?
No, I mean that the movie was a hot topic of conversation when I lived in the dorms at college.
As it should be.
Yeah, there was a movie night to watch Teeth, all of us together to watch Teeth, during which I was in my bed watching Free Willy.
They all watched it without you?
Without me. I didn't want to.
Got it. On purpose. On your part.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
But I know that there are teeth in a vagina.
True.
And I know a doctor is torn apart.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Sure.
At the very least, bitten.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the movie is centered around the woman who has grown the teeth or been given them, been blessed with them.
Been blessed with the teeth. Yeah. Great. Yeah, I can't wait for you to watch it.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm pumped.
The
concept is original.
How could you hear that concept and not immediately be thrilled to be watching it?
You're a man.
Get over it.
Yeah.
Is what I say.
Yeah. This movie feels like a for the girls movie.
Yes. This and Jennifer's Body, they kiss. Although it's not as like campy funny. More of a dark comedy.
Teeth?
I just want to get you in the in the right mindset.
The movie in which a woman has teeth in her vagina is not campy?
Well, it's a little campy, but it's not like as outwardly comedic as Jennifer's Body is.
Got it.
If that makes sense.
Sure.
More of a dark comedy.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, that's fun.
Great. Yeah. And then before we go, I think you had a corrections corner that you wanted to do?
Yes. Yes. In last week's episode, I incorrectly called a TV show starring Alan Tudyk.
Mm-hmm.
Illegal Alien is in fact not called that. It's called Resident Alien. Quite the opposite, in fact.
Yeah.
So that was my bad.
In this political climate, Katie, you can't do that.
I really can't. I think I found out, what, was that this morning that I texted you about it or last night?
I think it was yesterday, yeah.
Okay, well, whenever I messaged you about it, I was laying in bed. I fucking shot up. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, I said illegal.
Yeah.
Terrible. Terrible. I can't believe I did that.
Yeah.
I apologize. Correction. Corrected. I'm in the corner and I'm correcting.
She's corrected. She's apologized.
Yes.
And to be clear, fuck ICE.
Yeah. So honestly, yes.
To be very clear where we stand on that.
Yeah. Resident alien.
Resident alien. Thank you.
Thank you
for correcting that. I'm sorry. That's good.
Yeah. And I even doubled down on it. I was like,
I didn't notice.
Is that what it's called?
I've never seen the show, but
so this is your fault. Like,
yeah. Well, no. Hey, absolutely not. I shan't be taking blame for that. But I've never seen the show, so I was just like, yeah, sure. I know that he's in an alien show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, that's that. Apologies. Next week, Teeth, please join us. Let us know in the comments your favorite witch movie. And your favorite movie about teeth and a vagina. And then if there's more than just teeth, please let me know. Because I would like to see the others.
I mean, it's about time. It's been 20 years.
That's true. Don't say that. Oh,
sorry.
Anyways, I hope you have a good rest of your week. Thank you so much for listening. Please feel free to like and subscribe. We'll see you next week for Teeth.
Bye.
Bye.